whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
Well, thanks for coming here, taking the time, you know, not napping.
Yeah. And you are welcome. Let me just say it in a better way. You're welcome.
I was at the Summer Breeze Festival a couple of years ago.
Oh, nice.
And I thought I'm going to check out this band that's going to open up the main stage. Let's see if a couple of people are going to be there or not. Mm-hmm. And I went there, and the fucking place was packed until the end. Nina was there too, I think.
Oh, nice.
And we were like, oh, my God, what the hell is happening? Can you somehow, for all the wrong reasons, explain the hype and the success of Bloodywood?
It's going to be very hard for me to explain that. Yeah. So, for example, again, we'll take Summer Breeze. We were having a bad day already because there was no clean clothes, at least for me, left to wear on stage. And someone from Summer Breeze just came up and said, hey, do you guys want t-shirts? And I was like, yes, please. They gave me the t-shirt. I wore the t-shirt on stage.
The Summer Breeze artist shirt, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I wore it, because I just didn't have my kurtas clean. I just had the bottoms ready. I wore that and it was raining. So I was like, I don't want to take out my shoes because they were pretty expensive. And I was like, yeah, they're going to get, it'll be a hassle to clean them. So I just had my Crocs. I wore them. And that's how I performed the entire thing. And to this date, I get comments like, oh, you're the guy who sang with the Crocs. I was like, hey, I did singing. He could have said something good about that. By that time, we had a running joke in the band, because wherever we went and we were opening the main stages.
Yeah.
So every time we performed, somebody from the festival would be like, oh, that's one of the biggest openings we've seen for a opener band, whatever.
It was.
So we started making a joke amongst ourselves, like, oh, should we say, are you ready for your biggest opening yet, whatever? And then we saw outside and it was just cloudy. I was like, yeah, nobody's going to be there. Like, it's going to rain. I wouldn't stand in the rain anyways. So, I mean, I can't expect that. And people just kept coming in, and I realized how many people. We were told like there were like some 30 odd thousand people there for our set, and the only way I understood how like the scale of people there was, I saw this guy, like, he looked very tiny, but he was wearing some orange jumper, so I could see an orange dot just like jumping with us. And I was like, wait a second, everyone is jumping right now at this point. Like, that video actually got viral in the Indian circles as well, a little bit, because it was just dust and just people bouncing. Summer Breeze was next level.
But how come? How come that you guys have, as an underground, you were still underground, as an underground metal band, did you got this so successful? It was just by word of mouth, or was it promotion? Did everything come into the right place? How did this happen?
I mean, we if you ask me right now, we're nowhere near what we want to do in life. But one thing that has really worked for us is actually word of mouth. We did put music out on the internet, but we never had to go ahead and, you know, run ads or just do campaigns around the songs, because people would just share the fuck out of it, which even for us was surprising, because like, hey, we're just a band from India, you know, and we do have a lot of metal bands in India, but you don't get that much attention. And we wanted to focus more on the internet side of things, because in India, the pool is very small when you're a metal band. If you're singing in Bollywood, you know, you've gotten everything. But when you're doing metal, the pool is small. So we just had to like figure out how to increase the size of that pool and just take it to a global, audience, rather than just focusing on the country itself. So that one thing that we did with when we used to do covers and all was to do one simple thing, that was to just have as many eyeballs as we can have. So when we finally put out our music, we'll have people. So that is one thing that we did by design. But apart from that, it was just people sharing the songs through and through. And I just feel like it's probably because they connect to be the lyrics or the emotions of the songs behind it. But that's what I can say. That is my best guess.
Now, you had your first record, your first real record, Rock Shock. It was 3 years ago.
Yes.
Was Rock Shock the more difficult record to make, or was New Delhi the more difficult record to make now that somewhat, you know, you gain popularity and the pressure is somewhat on?
Yeah. For me personally, it would be actually New Delhi rather than Rakshak, because Rakshak, we we never wanted to put out an album. We just wanted to keep going ahead with singles because it was working. The first tour we did, again, sold out tour, just had three originals. After that, we started working on more to just make sure there is more quantity of the originals, but not to, you know, how do I put it in a right way? Basically, we did not want the quality to go down, but we also were focusing on releasing more music, and COVID happened.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to go on a US tour. There was planning, the math was mathing, everything was done. And right before we could announce, we had to just announce that we cannot do it anymore because of the restrictions on travel and everything. And when COVID happened, that's when we were like, you know what? Let's just put out an album. Because even our first tour, everyone was like, all the promoters and all were like, you were selling out shows.
Yeah.
You are garnering a lot of audiences in festivals. Think what you'll do with an album. And we were too hot-headed to be like, no, don't tell us how to work. We understand this business now. We are there. But then, you know, we were like, let's listen to what people are saying.
Yeah.
You know, they're professionals. They've just spent 30 years in the industry. So that's when we actually started writing Rakshak. But the four songs were already out. So we just had to create six songs. And we literally had our entire lives to think about those songs.
Yeah.
After that, we just got so busy touring 22, 23 that we just had to be like, hey, we can't tour in 24.
Yeah.
Because we have to write an album. So New Delhi is actually written in 8 months to a year. I'd say if you take in mixing and mastering as well. But it was faster. And also we are very particular. We are very, for the lack of better word, we're very anal with the process. It has to sound right or it's not getting out. I mean, I got one song, not scrapped, but I was like, I cannot relate with this theme at all. I cannot. Can we change? Can we have more conversations where we have a better theme? And then eventually we did settle on one and the song got done, but it has to be very precise. And if we're not happy with our songs, nobody is going to be happy. So it was a harder process because, again, like in Rakshak, we were more chill. We would have longer conversations. We'll have more time to just finish lyrics or the music part of it. With New Delhi, everything was happening at the same time. Oh, this is the riff I've written. Start thinking of something.
How did you come to the topic of New Delhi?
The name New Delhi is actually from somebody who posted a story. I think it was Chicago. I was informed about the name. Rahul or Karan, somebody saw the story on Instagram. We played a show in Chicago and the person wrote New Delhi, like new metal, but New Delhi in the house. And we were like, hey, that's a good album name. And then the whole process trickled down to, because this album is not just talking about the familiar subjects that we've done with Rakshak. It's also a glimpse into the place where we come from.
Yeah.
And we are trying to, from our best, you know, the best way we can, and unbiased, just a real picture of where we come from. And we want the world to understand it properly, especially with whatever is going around internet nowadays.
Now, you guys not only write about, you write about where you come from.
Yep.
But also you did a whole video about what you eat.
Yeah.
Which is actually really funny. I had to laugh about it.
No, that is one song that I was very motivated about. I was like, hey, it's my favorite subject. We're going to talk about food. Let's go. And then I realized, hey, I am doing the Hindi part. It has to be a little bit more poetic. And I was like, what should I write about it? I can write an essay. I don't know how I can write a poem about it. But the reason we talked about it is, again, how Indian cuisine on its own is like an art form at this point. The spices have to, you know, the blend of spices to how you add them. Everything is an art form. And honestly, we just, and every time we tour also, we miss home food a lot. So it was more like a love letter to all of it. Like, hey, we miss this food. But there's other side to it as well. It's not just for Indian food. I mean, it is Indian food that we're talking about because that is from our perspective.
Yeah.
But the song largely talks about a home-cooked meal, that feeling of, you know, completion when you have that, you know, after having a long day and you just come back home and whoever your caregiver is, or you, if you cook for yourself, you just miss that meal sometimes. And anyone can relate to the song, basically. It doesn't have to be from India. Somebody in Stockholm who just, you know, likes to eat whatever their mother cooks. It's everything. Anyone can relate to it. And that's what we are going for with it. But because it's from our perspective, it's speaking about Indian food.
I lived a couple of years in the United States and I lived right next to a couple of Indian guys. It seemed to me there were like six or seven of them.
Yeah.
Really nice guys. But they all could cook.
Yeah.
How it almost seems like a stereotype that all you Indian guys can cook, actually. You're aware of that.
Yeah, because we are very particular about what we eat. So when you grow up eating so many blends of, again, like I say, spices and all, and then you go outside or whatever, and you just cannot find that same taste, you just end up just, you know, picking it up yourself that, hey, I will do it. And they'll probably call their mothers or someone, just understand the recipes and just cook. And that's what I also, like, we also do that. We tried it, but it gets a little tiring on the road. But we carry, like I told you, premixes of teas, some spices here and there that we can just put on it and, you know, eat. So that's what we do. That's why everyone knows how to cook, I'd say.
Crazy. What's it like being a metal band in India when you start off? Is it more difficult, or is it easier now than it used to be, probably? I guess in the 80s, you had even more problems to do that. I mean, and now with the internet.
Metal on its own is an expensive hobby, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because you need to, not for the vocalist, I swear. I have the greatest time because I don't have to spend anything. But like, if you want to pick up guitars, bass, it's obviously an expensive hobby. Not everyone has access to good equipment and whatnot. Yeah. But if you see in terms of just how the ecosystem is built of the music industry in India, it's very hard for any metal band to just, you know, break out and just be popular in there, because the amount of metalheads, I'd say, is very less in India in comparison. The metal scene is tight-knit but small. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is dominated by Bollywood. Everything. Mm-hmm. It has to, like, the music that goes around, it's probably in a movie. That's why it's so popular. Now, indie in general is rising in India. You've got a lot of hip-hop artists who are coming out that are not affiliated that much with Bollywood, or maybe they just did a song for a movie because they're popular. But those hip-hop is doing very well. Then you've got a lot of rock bands that are doing very well. A whole bunch of commercial scene is there where, you know, bands just do their variations of whatever is going around with Bollywood. So all of that is increasing, but to fit metal into that mix is still very difficult. I mean, I remember a movie had like one metal track from a band, and people just, at least in the scene, were just talking about that. And the movie didn't even work. Like, it didn't work at all. But the song was talked about, yeah.
In comparison to us here, how big and how successful are you in your home country?
I'd say we are bigger on these areas, be it Europe or America, rather than how much we are in India. But even in India nowadays, because there is that validation now that we get. So, I mean, we do get the same respect, but people understand that, for example, we played Lollapalooza. Mm-hmm. So we'll still be higher. There's a festival nowadays in India called Bandland. Avenged Sevenfold was headlining it, so we were right before them. So we get to be at those positions. But again, because genre is not accessible for everyone, that's why we do not get to be a part of some, I'd say, you know, a festival that does not focus on metal. But as soon as there's someone who's focusing on metal or rock in general, we get called in. That's where we are the big guns.
It's crazy. How do you feel being so, you know, on your way on a global level? Do you get used to it? Do you still wipe your eyes and go like, oh man, this is like a dream come true?
It's always a dream come true. It was always a dream come true. Even when we did the smallest 300 capacity room, it was a dream come true back then as well. Because at the end of the day, we have a bunch of guys who just want to play metal. So when that is our core, it doesn't matter the size. The size of audience only matters because that's a scale of how successful or unsuccessful you are. That is the only, I'd say, thing. Apart from that, we are happy if we've got like five guys who just listen, like, you know, listen to our music. If they're passionate about it, we are with them.
You know, you could have just, when you started off, you could have just played metal with metal instruments, but you included Indian instruments.
Yeah.
How did it evolve?
It was in that era when we were doing covers and all that Karan actually found it out. We were doing a cover of a Punjabi song, and then I reached the studio and he was just like, hey, I've done something. I don't know if you're going to like it or not, but I like it. I was like, just play. I don't want, you know, weird suspense. And he played it. The riffs are going hard. The drums are hard. And then I start listening to dhol with it. And I was like, this really works. It doesn't feel forced. And that's what we try as well with our, you know, music and all, that we make sure that nothing feels forced.
Mm-hmm.
And that's literally how we found the sound. And then we kept on experimenting further.
What are you hoping for that the record New Delhi is going to do for you?
I am hoping that it works because everybody has gotten me scared. Like, oh, the second album curse. Second albums never work. And I'm like, yeah, why are you sharing that information with me? You say something nice. You know, it doesn't cost anything.
I mean, you're called Bloody Wood.
Yeah.
But isn't it at the end of the line, the target, the final goal is to have a couple of songs in Bollywood?
I mean, I see, honestly, that was never the plan.
I know it's never the plan, but it could be right now.
Yeah, nobody's going to like it. But that is what it's going to be. Because we've been approached by, you know, big media outlets and all, and they'll speak to us and then they'll disappear because I can guarantee you there are some fans sitting there and they're like, hey, we should get these guys on this movie or the project we're doing. And when their higher ups listen what we do, they're like, yeah, no, fuck no. I can guarantee you that because we get approached. The only time it panned out was when Dave Patel, by some miracle, found us on the YouTube and he just connected with us. And that's how Dhanadan became a part of Monkey Man, his latest release that was. But apart from that, it's more of the Western outlets that will, you know, approach and take those rather than the Indian ones. But hey, if it's there, that's going to make my parents happy. I mean, I don't see other... And money. Yeah. Yeah, these money. Two things, yeah. Because for Indian parents, for them, that's validation enough that, oh, okay, he's doing something well in life. It's in this movie. A movie can be the worst movie ever. They're just going to be happy. Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
So where is Bloody Wood in 5 years' time? Top of the world? Top of the metal world?
If we can do that in 5 years' time, 100%. Because that is the goal. If you ask any of us, what is your end goal to be the top of the world? When I say top of the world, I mean something like what Metallica did, what Linkin Park did. They inspired a generation of metalheads. I am standing here doing this interview today because I heard Linkin Park in school. And then after that, Slipknot, Lamb of God, I just couldn't go back. So that is what sort of thing we would love to do that. Because we get a lot of these comments from people that, oh, I don't listen to metal, but I listen to Bloody Wood. So if we have that, you know, crossover ability that people who do not enjoy that metal sound somehow, you know, get inside it. I would like to be that catalyst band. So, but for that, you'll have to be the next Metallica.
Easy.
No, I hope.
Good. I have no more further questions. Thank you very much.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.